Oh, can we have a hand for Julianne? Without her, the choir would have been one voice. Okay, thank you for all you do, Julianne. Really appreciate it. It's time for kids to go to Kids Connection, and also junior high is scheduled for today as well. And while they're heading out, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Don't miss Christmas Eve here at Village Green. We're going to have a wonderful service in just a couple of days. And can you believe it's here already? Wow, yeah. Yeah.
What time?
6:30 Christmas Eve. We have a really special service, you know. Okay. And if I'm a little jittery today, it's because my family in England is three quarters of the way over the Atlantic right now. First time our entire family is together in 17 years. So, yeah. So, yeah. And we're talking about love today. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. And don't answer out loud, okay? Okay, here's the question, okay? Do you believe you give more love than you receive? Do you know that a majority of people, when asked that question, would say yes? A majority of the people surveyed said that they believe in their life that they give more love than they receive back. That for them, in their life, they feel this imbalance, this unfair kind of reality that they live with, that they give more love than they receive, and most of us keep going in that particular way because love is a hard thing. Can we admit that love is hard? Love is not easy. Love is hard. And when we come to the fourth week of Advent, that's the theme today, is love. And when we talk about love, love is complicated on a human level. But it's also very complicated when you ask people about God's love. In fact, when you talk about God's love, there's these extremes that happen. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, if God is so loving, why then fill in the blank? Or how could a loving God fill in the blank? That's one extreme when it comes to God's love. The other extreme is a God who loves to such a degree that we are not responsible for any of our choices. Or God absolutely covers any evil that we do without repentance. That's the other extreme. Uh-oh. Merry Christmas. But we're going to look at a passage today that talks very distinctly about the love of God and yet never even mentions the word love. And it's a really powerful statement. And once we understand it, many of us, when we read it, we go, what is this person even talking about? And we're going to try and unpack it a little bit today because it's a really powerful passage. Noreen read it as part of the Advent lighting of the candles, and we're going to read it again as we see it. So it's Galatians 4:4-5. And this is what the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in the area of Galatia, wrote. He said, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject. Bless you. Subject to the law, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. What does that mean? So that he could adopt us as his very own children. God's love is biblically unfailing. Then when we talk about God's love, the adjective we add to that is that it's unfailing love. And there's a number of interesting points to come out of this that I want to just talk about. God's unfailing love meets a need. We read this passage. Are we okay? Are we all right? Okay. We read this passage and we think this is a time element. When the right time came, God sent forth his son. It wasn't just a time element. It was a need element as well. It was something that we all needed. And this not only talks about a reference in time, it talks to a reference of need. That when the need was the greatest, when the need became evident, when the need became obvious, the time now appeared for God to do something. You see, God's timing just doesn't meet a schedule. It meets a need. And we're going to expand a little bit on the need thing in just a minute, okay? The second thing is that God's love moves towards us, not away from us. It moves towards us. That love takes the initiative. That's the important thing. That's how we recognize love. We recognize right away when someone takes an initiative towards us that says, I love you. And God takes that same initiative. God acted before we even asked, before we sought him, before we even understood our own need. God moved towards us. Jesus wasn't humanity reaching for God. He was God reaching for humanity. Advent is the announcement that love is not passive or reactive. It pursues. And we all know what it's like when someone pursues us because they love us. God didn't send an angel, didn't send a program, or even a life hack. He sent his son. The third thing is that love draws on our humanity. Jesus didn't enter the world in a spiritual abstraction, but in real human vulnerability. God's love became tangible, touchable, interruptible. Jesus knows the human condition on a personal level. Knows it from the inside, our fears, our anxiety, our tears, our hopes, our dreams, everything that is confined within the human condition, Jesus understood that and came to it in his vulnerability. The incarnation doesn't mean that love observes from a distance. It actually participates with us. The fourth thing is that love redeems and restores. It says to redeem those under the law. Jesus came not simply to inspire us, but to transform us, to transform our status from slaves to sons and daughters. Love doesn't just improve our situation. It refines our identity and redefines who we are. It changes it. Redemption is the purchase. Adoption is the embrace. Advent love is not sentimental. It's not supposed to be sentimental. It is rescuing, adopting actually, and restoring love. Now, I want to do a little excursus or a little detour on this whole thing about the law and why it is so important when it talks about love, even though this passage, as I've said, doesn't even mention the word love, but it's very important for understanding God's love. Okay? The Apostle Paul, especially in this book of Galatians, talks about the contrast between the promise that Jesus was coming as the Messiah and then the law itself. And he builds that contrast really importantly. And I want to read this particular passage because earlier on, before he gets to this, he explains something about the law that we all have to recognize. And this is what he writes. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise, which is the coming of Jesus the Messiah, to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. How many times have you heard people say, I just need to be good? Okay? Right? That's a flawed understanding right away. Okay? But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's give you an example of the law, because you're wondering what is the law, right? One of the things, one of the best known examples of the law is what? The Ten Commandments. Okay? Let's just take the one commandment. Let's just take number 7, do not steal. Okay? Are there any I got to be careful how I say this. Okay? All right? There's a period at the end of that. Okay? It doesn't say do not steal unless you are in a position where who you steal from is never going to know that you stole. Or that you're in a position that stealing is actually going to help your family get ahead. Or stealing, you know, all kinds of rational concepts of what is a moral theft versus an immoral theft. Okay? Now, if you think of the law in that particular way, you're kind of missing the point. Because we treat the law as something that we do externally. But what this is really talking about is, do I have a heart that wants to take from somebody else? Do I have a heart that wants to justify stealing? And I can rationalize to myself the reason why it's okay for me to take this. Okay? Do you know what the word sin really means in the Greek and Hebrew? It means to miss the mark, which is just a very simple illustration. And I would like you to stand up right now if you are perfect. Yeah, yeah. A few of us looked around because, you know, we're expecting someone to stand up, right? You know, and maybe if you're online and you're standing up right now, please sit down. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay. But none of us are perfect. We admit that each and every one of us, to one degree or another, have missed the mark. Okay? And the biggest mistake we make when it comes to missing the mark is we compare ourselves to one another. We compare ourselves to, I'm not as bad as that guy. Right? Like, no one's as bad as that guy. Right? And that's what we do. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to the law, it's a comparison between ourselves in God. And if we consider that God is perfect in all things, then we're going to miss the mark all the time. You know the glorious thing about the category that the Bible puts us all in? You know what it says to us? It says we're human. Yeah. You know what? God knows that you're human. God knows that there's going to be times that we're going to miss the mark. I could stand up here and Christmas would be gone, New Year's would be gone, probably 2026 would be gone, and I still wouldn't be done confessing all the things I've done wrong. Amen? And yet we read this and we get so... But the fact of the matter is that we're human. We do miss the mark. And before a perfect God, God did something that we could never do on our own and gave it freely. Because we all miss the mark. And the law just demonstrates that, you know, even though the law says I shouldn't steal, I'm guilty at some point in my life of having taken something, even if it's insignificant, it still tells me that I have missed the mark that God has put before us. And that's just the reality of who we are. And I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that I'm human. I'm really glad I don't have to be perfect. I'm really glad I don't have to, you know, meet a standard that I'm never going to be able to reach, no matter how AI and Android I become. $6 million man or something like that, right? You know, that's just, that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing, okay? So we've got that whole law thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about. We kind of got it out of the way, okay? But this is such a beautiful thing to embrace. And I know we all get up in arms when we read the passages about our sinfulness and all that kind of stuff. But what you should recognize is just the extent of God's love, because he knows what you're really like. He knows what we are capable of. He knows those times that we have missed the mark. And you know what? God is not up in heaven, by the way, going, oh, do I ever regret sending Jesus? What was I thinking? You know? I can't believe that we crucified him. I can't believe that we went to all this trouble. For what? That's the beauty of love, of God's love. Knowing who we are, and yet made a way for us to receive love that we ultimately, in the end, probably don't think we even deserve ourselves. And this last point out of this passage that I want to talk about in God's unfailing love is that he invites us into his family. We become his children. We become brothers, sisters in Christ. And that's the last point I want to put up on the screen there, that we become part of this family, that God makes us his own. And that's the whole argumentation of this particular passage and why it's so powerful about love. That is basically saying there's times that we trip up. There's times that we fail. There's times that we miss the mark. There are times that we are just not, you know, how many of us, please don't put up your hands, how many of us have more trouble forgiving ourselves than forgiving someone else? And yet to think that in your own heart of hearts, in your own mind, that you consider yourself before God, that's the beautiful thing about Christmas, is that even though we are people who miss the mark, that God could have very well said, I don't even want to bother with that troop. I don't even want to, you know. They're just going to be miserable. And yet, you're loved so much, I'm loved so much, that Jesus came in the most vulnerable way to demonstrate God's incredible love for us. Isn't that a nice truth once in a while? It goes really ugly, but the truth is far more illuminating than what we thought the ugly side would be. Don't ever say just, I want to be good, because you're only fooling yourself. Because we all miss the mark at some point. In fact, isn't it wonderful to think that you are fully forgiven when you embrace a life with Jesus? And that all your missing the marks are not held against you, but you become part of the family, and that you are loved in a way that you have never been loved in this earthly way for all eternity. And that goes for everyone. Isn't that a great truth? Doesn't that make a difference to say Merry Christmas with all your heart? Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team of Julianne. To come and to close us with the last song. I'm going to pray. And again, I want to invite you here on Christmas Eve when we really bring home this celebration. But I want to pray as Julianne's getting set up. Father in heaven, thank you for this season. I know that there are people here, lots of busyness, lots of anxiety about this time of year. I know there are people who are grieving during this time of year. And yet, Lord, I want to remind them that whatever they're experiencing, that God loves them. That sometimes we can forget what we have received in Him. And yes, maybe it takes celebrating it every year to be reminded of the incredible love that God has for us. Life can be hard. Life can be difficult. We can't always explain it. But if there's one thing we know, that regardless of what happens, God's love is always there to walk us through the difficult times and to bring joy during those happy times. So, Lord, we want to commit this year to seeing that love in very real and tangible ways. And Lord, knowing that we are loved in that way, can we live a life where we are happy to give love and not worry about what it is that we receive back because of the incredible gift of your Son? In Jesus' name, amen.